Bibles this morning, we'd like to turn with us to a portion of reading. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 24, the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. I'm going to be honest, most of the messages I've preached this week have not been revival sermons as the world would look at them. This morning's not going to be much different. I don't have a revival sermon. Brother Danny and Brother Lane and I were talking tonight, and maybe Brother Michael was there too. I don't really know what constitutes a revival sermon most of the time. Most people think if you don't preach hell and everybody that dies and goes to hell that burns forever, if you're not preaching that type of sermon, you're not preaching a revival sermon. But again, only the Lord really knows what we need and when we need it and how we need it. And so we need to depend on Him for our messages and what the Lord has given us. But Luke chapter 24, we're going to start reading in the 44th verse. And he says, and Luke says, and he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms, concerning me." Who me? Jesus. It says, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. It says, "And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. Now, our thought this morning, our title for our lesson would be Joy in Church Membership. Joy in Church Membership. Now I want us to realize, I believe that Luke started the book of Acts. I believe he was the original writer and he may have written most of the book of Acts. Obviously there are different ones, different places in there that different things happen and different places that you read of different occurrences. But overall I believe that Luke was obviously the writer of this gospel. And he started writing the book of Acts. If you look at the book of Acts, and we're going to get there, if the Lord will be our helper. But if you look at how he ends this book and starts the book of Acts, you realize that he was starting them and ending them much in the same way. Realizing that if you were to harmonize the Gospels, most of them end basically the same. We read in the book of Matthew, the last chapter there, "You all know that I have drilled it into your heads, the Great Commission, the first 2 years that I've been here. Go ye therefore into all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world." That's the Great Commission. Luke, in his writing, he was kind of penning it a little different. Most of the Gospels were kind of penned in a different way. They were all different people. They all had different writing styles. If you were to start in the book of Luke, he has some great instructions for us about the things that would come. These are things that we most assuredly believe among ourselves. But I want to take for our lesson text this morning that 52nd verse. "And they worshipped him." Who is the they? The disciples, the apostles. "And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy." Again, our lesson title this morning is Joy in Church Membership. You know, I was thinking last evening as I began to think about this message for this morning. You know, Jesus, we know, is at the end of His time here on earth. We know that He's been crucified. We know that He's risen again the third day, and He's been around for a few days afterward. He's exposed Himself to men there on the Emmaus Road, and he's allowed people to see him many times, he has come to the disciples. We remember what happened with Thomas. Thomas said, "I will not believe unless I see the nail prints in his hand, the side where he was thrust in. I'll not believe, I'll not even understand until I see that." So Jesus appeared to him and he said, "Blessed art thou, Thomas. Blessed are those that have not seen yet believe, but you see, yet you believe." So we know that Jesus has been appearing. We know that he's been going with his disciples here, there, and yonder. But this is it. Jesus is no longer going to be with them in his bodily form. In fact, he really, when he was here, he was just appearing to them. But we know that this is his ascension, his release back to heaven. Do you remember what he's told them time and time again? He said, "I've got to go from you. I'm leaving. But I will send another comforter. I will send one that will be with you always." What is that comforter? It's the Holy Spirit. We've talked about it a lot this morning. It's been brought up in a lot of your testimonies. But I want you to realize something this morning. What constitutes church membership means that you actually have to join the Lord's church. I want to explain what I believe the Lord's church is. I want to start there this morning. We look around today and there are places that have plastered church above their door. They've taken a sign and they've bolted it to the yard or whatever they can find, and they've called themselves a church. Well, not everything that calls themselves a church is truly a church. You can agree or you can disagree, but we're still going to disagree if you disagree with me. Not everything that calls themselves one of the Lord's is one of the Lord's. There are marks of a New Testament church. One of the greatest marks of the New Testament church, it's not the building size, it's not congregation size, it's not what kind of music they have, it's not what color carpet they have. We were talking the other night and they were talking about a church that split one time over whether the drapes in the baptistry were open or closed. It's not about those things, but it's about the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. That is the greatest mark of a New Testament church. I want you to realize, if a church does not have the Holy Spirit, they're not one of the Lord's. They don't belong to Him. I believe if you read over the book of Revelations, we read about a church there at Sardis. And Jesus wrote to them. He says, "Thou hast a name, but thou art dead, brothers and sisters." You have a name that you're one of mine, but you're dead. You don't belong to me. There are a few things that you need to strengthen. Strengthen those things that remain. There's a few that still walk with me in white. There's a few that still follow after my precepts and my standards. Most of you all, some of you all, were here a couple weeks ago in our bulletin. I wrote about standards of the Baptist church. I believe this morning that there are standards that our churches must meet to be considered one of the Lord's. I'm telling you, the first mark is that Holy Spirit. The places that teach things that are contrary to the will of God, they are not of the Lord. They'll not have the Holy Spirit with them that leads, guides, and directs their services. We read about a church again in Revelation. The Lord wrote to them and He says, "I see that you have left your first love." You want to know another mark of the New Testament church? Is that they have Jesus as the center of their worship. You can worship me. You can worship your piano. You can worship your benches. You can worship your baptistries. But our worship this morning must be focused on Jesus Christ. You can even worship your worship. But we need to worship our Lord and our Savior. The church of the true and living God. I want you to realize, I was thinking this morning as I was coming over here, there are all kinds of names that people have come up with for the church. Today there's this common thing, let's name a church something and then let's leave the denomination off of it. So nobody really knows what we are. We'll deceive everybody, we'll call ourselves something big and hip, like Revived or Ignite or something like that, and we'll leave off the name because if we tell them that we're a Baptist, it might offend them. Well, I want you to know, if being a Baptist offends you, then guess what? You're offended by God. say, "Preacher, that's awful harsh." I want you to realize something. The Baptist church hasn't always done things right. We've messed things up a lot. But I want you to realize something. When you get down to Bible doctrines, I believe the Baptist church holds straight up and down the things that it teaches. Now, does that mean we're always right? No. Does that mean I'm always right? No. But I'll say this. The true church of the true and living God, one of the standards they must meet is to follow the things that the Bible sets forth as being true. They have got to hold to doctrines. We can't waver on things that matter, brothers and sisters. We can have different discussions about what kind of carpet that we might need. But when it comes down to what baptism is, we have to agree on that. We must agree that baptism is not the sprinkling of infants. It's not you coming up here and being saved by me baptizing you. It's that you have been saved. And that we fully immerse you. Full immersion. I'm talking about the entire body goes under. You are buried with Christ in baptism. That's a fundamental doctrine, I believe, of the Baptist Church. Salvation. It must be that we teach the truth about salvation. We don't have 50 different methods. We've got one way. And His name is Jesus. And we believe that you must seek Christ until He saves you and not me. Christ must be the one that places His blood upon your heart. Now there are, I would have to go through the 18 articles of faith, and we don't have time for that this morning. I realize you all have that look in your eyes, "Oh Lord, this is going to be long." I won't do that to you this morning. I want to establish what the Lord's church is. It is the pillar and the ground of the truth. I believe overall, the church of God, and guess what? I don't call out names from the pulpit. I don't believe in doing that. But you can be the church of God, church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the church of Christ. You can have whatever name you want to slap on it. And guess what? The true church is all of those things. We are the church of Christ. We are the church of Jesus Christ, the Latter-day Saints. We are the church of God. I even saw one the other day. It says it's the church of the firstborn. I don't know what that means. We are that too. On our sign, on our stationery, it says Missionary Baptist. Now, I'm not going to get into why we're Missionary Baptist. We'd be here a long time. The Baptists, if you look around, there's all kinds of us. I get asked all the time, "What's the difference between you and everybody else?" You know what the biggest difference is? The greatest difference, and there's many. The greatest difference between us and the rest of the world is the way that we teach about salvation. Our altar practices, they're the greatest difference. I want you to realize, when we invite a sinner into this altar, I'm not going down there to deceive them. They have got to pray until they find salvation. I'm not going down there and ask them if they've accepted Christ, because you can't do that, brothers and sisters. You can't. When a person comes into our altar, they are free to seek the Lord until they're satisfied. That's the biggest difference. Now, there's a lot more, and I'm not going to go into them all today, because my lesson title is The Joy of Church Membership. You said, "Preacher, you went all around the world to get to that topic." But I want you to realize, you can join every organization on this side of eternity. But if you are saved and not a member of the true church, you are missing out, brothers and sisters. You have failed to reach the mark that Christ has set for us. What is the mark? We look at what happened with John. John was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He came out of the wilderness eating locusts and wild honey. And he didn't look too good. I hope I look a little bit better than John the Baptist did this morning when I go get in the baptistry. But John the Baptist came and he was preaching, "Repent." You know, it's the same thing Jesus came preaching, was repent. And then people started getting saved. First, in order to join the Lord's church, you must be saved.
The church is not just you come in here and say, oh, well, that's where I go, I'm a member. I had someone say the other day, I don't think I've ever joined a church. I just go and I give them my money and, well, I guess I'm a member. Where did that come from? Who thought that was true? Who thought that was right? You know what a church is? The very basis of a church is a body of baptized believers. If you've not been baptized, you're not a member of the Lord's church. I don't care where you go. You're not. Until you've been baptized. And you want to know how I know that? Guess what John said? He was over there baptizing. You know what John was baptizing for? He was baptizing to prepare material for that church that Christ would set up. So John was over there baptizing. And these Pharisees and Sadducees, they came down there and they said, what prohibits us from being baptized? And he said, bring forth fruits before repentance. Basically, tell me how you know that you should be baptized. Tell me about what has saved you to let you know that you need scriptural water, baptism. Bring forth fruits which repentance. I have had people. Someone asked me the other day, they asked me on Thursday. I said, oh, we had two, you know, with our church last night. They said, well, how do you take your members? So in front of all my office workers, I stood up like I would do here, and I went through my whole spiel. We take people by letter, credit of letter. We take people by baptism. We take people by restoration. I said, you go through all that every time you open the Lord's church. I said, yes, I do. Because I want people to know there is a correct way to join the Lord's church. And they said, well, what happens then? Do you just, everybody that's there, you just assume they want to be members? And I said, no. I said, they've got to come before us. And they've got to tell us about what the Lord has done for them. You say, preacher, you mean you're going to make somebody get up in front of a congregation of people and talk? Yes. Because John said, bring forth fruits, meat for repentance. We want to know why that you should be baptized. We're looking for a few things. We want to know about your travel from nature to grace. I want to hear it. I still like to hear people tell about what the Lord has done for them. Don't just tell me, I'm saved. How do you know that you're saved? What happened to you to let you know that you've been saved by the grace of God? That's what I want to hear. I don't care if you come by letter. I don't care if you come by baptism. I don't care if you come by restoration. I want to know that you have been saved. That's the way that we take in members in our body. But did you know there's more to church membership than just walking up here saying, I want to unite with this church, me baptizing you, us writing for your letter? There's more than that. There is joy in church membership. I may have told this before. When I was a middle school education major, one of the things I signed up for, I was to be a part of this organization called AMLIN, which was the some American middle school language arts educator, something or other. I don't know. I can't remember. Well, I paid this $50 due 1 year. And did you know they were still charging my bank account as of last year? I hadn't been a middle school education major in like 4 years. But I forgot to disqualify my membership. They were still taking my money out of my bank account. I wouldn't get anything out of it, but I was still a member. On somewhere in some form, they probably had, oh, Taylor Gregory is a member of our organization. Well, there's a lot of organizations you can be members of, but it's a whole lot different to be a member of the Lord's church because there is joy in it. You say, preacher, I don't get anything out of my church membership. Then are you really where you need to be? Really? You need to be getting something out of your church membership. You really do. As I was thinking about what took place here, what did Jesus tell them? He said in that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of these things. You know what's joyful about being a member of the Lord's church? Is seeing other people get saved and unite with the Lord's church. You know how people get saved? Repentance and remission of sins. And if that's not taught from behind the pulpit, what's being taught from behind the pulpit is wrong. You say, preacher, that sounds awful harsh. I want you to realize, I am harsh about these things because this is not funny, it's not hilarious. This is life and it's death for people. If a church gets up there, a preacher gets up there, and him hauls around and tells you this way and that way and all kinds of different ways to get saved, and you die lost, then that is eternal. back from that.
Our churches need to teach repentance and remission of sins. And guess what? I'm going to sidebar this. As Brother Danny said, I'm going to throw it in. It's not going to cost you anything extra.
Repentance should be taught not only for lost people, but it should be taught for church members as well. Sometimes we need to repent of the things that we have done to get ourselves back in order with the Lord.
We do. I'll go on. I could stay there a long time, but I won't.
It says, ye are witnesses of these things. It's a joyful thing to see people get saved. I'm sorry. You can pay thousands of dollars to do anything you want to do. But do you know it's free to come to the Lord's house and to worship the Lord and to ignite it, to lift your voice, to lift your heart, to lift your spirit toward God so that a lost person may see and realize there's something different about you and about the way that we teach. That you're witnesses of these things. The Scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are the redeemed of the Lord going to say so if they're not here? Ask yourself that question. I made mention this last week tonight here at Mount Calvary during our prayer service. I've often thought, what would have happened if the night that I went out to Pleasant Hill, they had just locked the door and said, just forget it. We don't care about those people. Nobody's getting saved, and we're not worried about it anymore. We'll just go home and give up. Would I have gotten saved? I'm thankful that somebody cared enough to show up out there, flip the lights on, unlock the door, turn the air conditioning on, and start singing and praising God so that a little boy could come under conviction and be saved.
They didn't know that night that I got saved. Oh, but the next year, they would get to find out that there was a little boy that got saved that night. And they were witnesses of those things. You can't witness it if you're not here. You can't witness it if you're not in your church. You can't witness it if you're not where the Lord wants you to be. It says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I want to tell you what that enduing from the power on high is. We talk about baptism, water baptism.
Well, guess what? The church had to be given power. You know what energizes the church? Guess what? I don't have an energizer battery stuck to the back of this thing. And we flip a switch and it just charges some electricity through here. The church was already set up before the day of Pentecost. There are people that don't believe that. But they already had a business meeting before the day of Pentecost. You can't have an organized business meeting unless you have a church. They had one. So guess what they needed? They needed that power from on high. You know what happened on the day of Pentecost? The church was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was. He was given its power. What did Jesus say in the Great Commission? And I will give you power. Guess what? A church without the Holy Spirit has no power. It doesn't. A church without the Lord has no power.
And it says, and he ascended. He went as far as Bethany and he blessed them. And this is the part I really want to get to again. I know I've been around the world to get to this point. It says, and they worshiped him. Who did they worship? Jesus. It says, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. You know what they were going back? Jesus told them, he said, not many days hence, and I'm going to give you power from on high. You know what they went back and did? They met in an upper room. Let's turn there, if we will, over to Acts chapter 2. Again, Luke wrote, I believe, this first part here. I don't know how much of it he wrote. He may have wrote it all. I don't know. But you get over there to the 12th verse of, actually, Acts chapter 1. Sorry, I misspoke. But Acts chapter 1. After the men of Galilee were standing gazing upward, as Jesus goes back, he said, why do you men of Galilee stand gazing upward? This same Jesus that you saw go away, he shall return in like manner. Jesus is gone. It says, then returned they. Who? Those that were there that witnessed this. Those that Jesus was speaking to, his disciples, the church. They returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey, which is about 2,000 cubits. It was a little more than half a mile. That was as far as they could go on the Sabbath day. They couldn't travel any farther. But you know what they found? When they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both, and they'll go through all those names. There was all these people that gathered in there. And these all continued with what? Different opinions, different thoughts, one accord. in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. You think about what was taking place there. These people had gathered in. Have you ever been in a church service where everybody was just with one mind and one accord? And you just begin to see people begin to rise to their feet. And they begin to thank God. And they begin to shout. And they begin to testify. And sinners begin to run to the altars because they knew that something was taking place there that was unlike anything they'd ever experienced. You know something about our churches today? We have lost that kind of enthusiasm for our services. We think church sometimes is an obligation. I'm going to tell you something. If you're a church member, it should be an obligation to you. It really should be. But there's joy in going. When we come in one mind, in one accord, praying and in supplications, begging God to be with us, there's joy in those services, brothers and sisters. There's joy in seeing God's people begin to be revived, lost souls saved, people that had backslidden, they turn their lives around. There's joy in those things. But it says they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. We'll go on a little bit. They had to make a decision. We remember that Judas Iscariot, he turned against Christ. And we know that he hung himself there in a tree. So they were missing one. They had a business meeting. They had to appoint one to come in and replace Judas. Well, they had two people. And let's look over to the 24th verse. I'm blessed here at Mount Calvary as pastor. Our business meetings are some of the most easy things that I've ever sat through. Sometimes you'll have to deal with a moderator that can't remember here from there. And I apologize for that. But they're easy. You all are an easy church to work with. I'm thankful for that. But they had a decision. They had two people that were being run, that were being considered for this office. And you know there's joy in church business meetings. You say, preacher, they're so boring. We have to sit there through it all. You have to listen to the treasurer's report and the reading of the minutes from the last thing. And we got letters and correspondence and all this stuff. And I really don't want to set that through it. Do you realize in order for the church to continue, it has to have a business meeting? So guess what? Just enjoy the church business meeting. Because as much as I'm enjoying it, you should enjoy it as well. But guess what they did before they had their business meeting? When they made this decision, they prayed. That's a novelty anymore, that a church prays and comes together in one mind and one accord on their decisions. But I will say this, there is joy in those decisions when a church does come together in one mind and one accord. It says they cast their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And did you notice there's no parentheses? It says, and half the church got mad? No. The lot fell with Matthias. And guess what? I think they accepted that. They were happy about it. Why were they that way? Because they prayed. God had His favor. God had His way. Something else there's joy in church membership with? When God has His way. God should always get His way. But guess what? Sometimes we get our own way. But then, here's where the joy really takes off. When the church is baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is when the day of Pentecost, which was about 50 days after the Passover, this is when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. I want to sidebar really quickly. What I'm fixing to say is probably going to get me in trouble. I'm prepared for it. We've got places today that are growing so large, they have to have satellite campuses. Guess what, brothers and sisters? There is not a universal church. Our churches are local, individual bodies of baptized believers. I don't need a satellite campus. We have a campus right here. And you know what we are? We're all in one place this morning. You know what happened when God's people come together in one mind, in one accord, in one place? We're fixing to find out. And it says that suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Think about that. I've been in some services before
where it almost felt like Pentecost was coming back around, where it just shook the very church. People were praying. Oh, you know what my favorite thing was when I was growing up? And it scared me when I became lost. But it was to hear those good brothers that sat in the amen corner as they all got down on their knees and they began to pray that prayer. It shook the floorboards in the church. When I was lost, I'd hear them praying. I thought, oh, heavens, the Lord is near. Oh, I love that. Oh, I miss that. I miss that prayer. That starting prayer in a church service where God's people, they ask God to come in and bless the service so that God might get honor and glory like they did on the day of Pentecost. I love that. I'm glad when God comes in just like this. Since it appeared unto them, cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon not just some of them, not just half of them, not just the women corner and the amen corner, and a couple in the back. It says, and it sat upon each of them. Oh, brothers and sisters, can you imagine if all of God's people followed the Lord every single time that God beckoned them? We're fixing to find out what that'd be like. And they were all, brothers and sisters, not a few, all, were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues. Sidebar, not what the world says is other tongues. They were speaking in their native languages as Spirit gave them utterances. You know what I believe they were doing? I believe God moved among them, and I believe God allowed them to begin testifying about what the Lord had done. And they began telling everybody that would listen. Oh, what a joy. And they were all dwelling at Jerusalem. Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. You know why I don't think it was tongues, as some denominations think that it is? Because this wasn't just a bunch of white people sitting out here in Jerusalem. It was people from everywhere, from all nations, all tongues, all voices, all nationalities. And they began to speak. And I think those that needed to hear, I believe they heard. There was joy around this place, brothers and sisters. It says, now when this was noised abroad, you know what happened? People began to hear about what was taking place over there. Did you hear these people over there? Oh, there was a sound. It was like a rushing mighty wind. And all of these people, they began to praise the Lord. And people began to get excited about it. And they came over to see what was going on. Can you imagine people being excited about church once again? I mean, going to the house of God and saying, I wonder what's going to happen today. I wonder who's going to testify. I wonder who's going to shout. I wonder who's going to join. I wonder who's going to get saved. I wonder who's going to that's lived their lives in a backslid manner. I wonder who's going to come back to God. I wonder. You know, I used to hear. I don't live in the past. I can't go back and get it. And so there's no need to live back there. But I used to hear these stories about how people would get in the parking lot of the church and they'd be shouting before they ever got in. And you'd hear them as they were coming in on their horses and buggies and they were shouting the whole way because they couldn't wait to see what God was going to do that day. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could still meet in that manner? But it says there were some that were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. You know why I believe God did that? Because He knew there was going to be people from all nationalities there that needed to hear what was laid upon their hearts. You want to know why I believe in following the leadership of the Holy Spirit? You want to know why it's a joy to serve the Lord as we do here at Mount Calvary? Because you're free. When God moves on you to rise or to sit, to do whatever God lays upon your heart. And you want to know why it's important to do what God asks you to do? Because somebody needs what you have been given. I still believe in good old-fashioned testimonial services where people begin to get the Spirit because sometimes the preacher just gets in the way. Now, I believe in the preaching of the cross. I believe the preaching is the most important part of our service. But you know what? Sometimes somebody just needs what you have. And I still believe in worshiping in that manner because some were confounded by that. And they were all amazed, and they marveled, saying one to another, behold, not all these which speak are Galileans.
And go on. It says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one another, that's verse 12. What meaneth this? What is going on? I've said this before, I don't know if I said it here. When I was younger, I used to not want to take my friends to church. Because when I was growing up in People Pleasant Hill, they didn't give two qualms about getting up shouting. And there was this lady, she'd sit about halfway back. And they used to sing the song, and I sing it from time to time. It's so peaceful.
Brother Dave, every... the devil don't want me to interrupt, but God does.
Go right here.
Talking about joy. You know, I know I'm saved today. But I got saved, I had joy. And then I remember, you know, after that,
interrupt me anytime you need to. But guess what? Follow the Lord. You want to know why that is? Because they were all amazed. And they were in doubt, saying one another, what does this mean? As I told you, I didn't like taking my friends to church. Because that lady, she'd get up, she'd get to shout, and I'd think, oh, they're going to think I'm crazy. I'm not ever going to come back. You know what people need to hear? They need to hear the Holy Spirit let loose in somebody. And then shout and testify and praise God for what He's done for them. You know what these people said? Are those people full of new wine? I used to think they would just think, oh, they've put something in the Kool-Aid out there and they've all lost their mind. It says they were mocking them. You know what I'm not afraid of? I'm not afraid of people mocking me. Us Baptists, sometimes we get a bad reputation. They'll say they're just emotional. I don't want emotion-driven services. But I'm going to tell you what. Sometimes the Spirit moves them on us and it fills us with emotions. Our salvation, it makes us feel. And if you can't feel it, you ain't got it. Because sometimes that cup just begins to run over and God begins to bless us. I'm going to tell you something this morning about our church membership. You don't want to know the greatest thing that I have besides my salvation. It is being a member of the Lord's church. It's the greatest thing that I have. And you know what? Even more so than that, not only am I a member of the Lord's church, but I'm a member where God has placed me. Calvin Perigo taught a lesson a few years back, many years back, because he's been gone a while. And the title of that lesson was Holy Spirit Placed Pastors. You know what I believe about pastors in churches? They need to be Holy Spirit placed. If God doesn't want them there, they don't need to be there. If God hasn't called them to be there, you better leave it alone. I don't care how good looking he is, because that's not why y'all called me. I don't care how he speaks, how he acts. Actually, I do care how he acts. The Bible teaches us about that. He better act right. But he needs to be Holy Spirit placed. I want to go a step further with Brother Calvin Perigo's lesson. God needs Holy Spirit placed church members. He does. And I'm going to tell you this. When you're where God wants you to be, you will be blessed for it.
Yes.
You will be. It's not always easy. It's not always what we want. It's not always what we like. It's not always how we think it should be. But God places those in the church such as pleases Him. If it pleases Him, that's where we need to be. Joy in church membership. What's some things about our church membership that's joyful? We sing a song from time to time. It's called, I'm So Glad That I'm a Part of the Family of God. Now, there's a difference in being part of the church and being a part of the family of God. Just because you're saved does not make you a member of the Lord's church. I told you how we take in members. You have to come those ways. In fact, here in just a few moments, and I've preached a lot longer than I intended to this morning. I was going to try to keep it short. Oops. In a few moments, in a little bit, we're going to take Rachel. And she's going to get changed, and I'm going to go get changed. Right now, she's not a member of this church. But within this hour, maybe, she's going to become a member of the Lord's church. And those that are here today, you're going to witness that. You're going to see somebody become a part of the church. Now, I want to clarify some things before I end this message. What I'm doing today with her is not saving her soul. It's not.
In fact, salvation better happen before you ever get in one of those things. Whether it happens before you get in a river, before you get in a creek, I don't care where they baptize you. If they find a mud puddle that's deep enough and they dunk you through it, you better be saved before you ever get in one. And I'm going to say this. If you've been saved, and you were saved after that you were baptized, I've heard people that say, well, I figured out I was not saved when I originally said I was and I was baptized, but I'm saved now and I don't want to tell anybody because I think that I might have to be baptized. Guess what? If that is your case, you need to be baptized. Right. You're not scripturally baptized. Scriptural baptism happens when a person has been saved and then they've been immersed completely by an authorized person to do that. And I believe that that is an ordained minister of the Lord's church given authority by the church. I cannot go out here today and start baptizing anybody that I want to just because I'm a member of this church. In fact, I want to make mention of this. If I go somewhere else to baptize somebody, you know who has to give me the authority to do that? This church. You know why that's the case? Because I'm a member of this church. This church holds my authority. They let me go baptize where I... If someone else, actually, the first baptism I did was not in this church. It was in Fairview, Woodburn, in Kentucky. You know what I had to do in a business meeting here? I had to ask the church, would you give me the authority to go to that church and baptize someone into their congregation? This church did that. They allowed me to do that. But did you know this morning, there's joy in being a church member. Somebody's inevitably out there thinking, I know why this guy wants me to be a member of the church. He wants me to give money. I guarantee you somebody's thought that. If you haven't, this message may go online and somebody's going to think that. You know what I don't care about? Your money. But I will say this. Our churches, they have to be financed by something. Just because you're a church member doesn't mean you have to dig down into the bottom of your purse and find every last nickel that you've got to give to us. I do believe in giving to the Lord's church. But that is not why that I want you to be a member of the Lord's church. The reason I want you to be a member of the Lord's church, the reason you should be a member of the Lord's church, is because Christ commands us to be a member of the Lord's church. We need to follow the Lord in baptism. People say, was Jesus saved? Jesus didn't have to be saved. But I believe He was baptized so that it was a type and that it showed us what we should do. You know what happened as Jesus was baptized there? There was this dove that descended from heaven. And it said, the voice of the Lord spoke and said, this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Being a church member, what does that really mean? In my estimation, the joy that comes from being a church member is the knowledge that you're following the Lord. It's the knowledge that you're joining yourself to His church, to be a worker in His church. In fact, when you unite with our church, one of the things that you're covenanting to is everything you read right there. And I believe we should follow that as closely as we can when we unite with the Lord's church. Did you know if you'll do those things, you'll find joy? There'll be joy in your life. There'll be people around you that love you. Say, preacher, I can be a member anywhere. You can be. But you need to be where the Lord wants you to be. You need to be where God has placed you to be. You need to be where you can carry out that church covenant. You need to be where the Holy Spirit wants us to be. I have joy this morning in my church membership. In fact, I think of it often. I remember the day that I joined at Pleasant Hill. It was the first Sunday of the revival in 2005. I was sitting about where Brother Joe is at Pleasant Hill. Somebody opened the doors to church. I stepped forward, and I can't remember everything I told that day. I was 12 years old. And I joined that day. I was a member there for several years. And then the Lord said, it's time to go pastor a church in Nashville, Tennessee. And I remember the day. It was July 12th of 2015. I opened doors to the church knowing that I was going to join. I stepped out here for the congregation. I don't know if they knew that I was joining, but I did. Well, someone else ended up joining that day. I had no idea. My sister Caitlin Kemp, she stepped out of the aisle and she joined. So I got a blessing for following the Lord that day. There's joy in being where the Lord wants you to be. And I'm talking about not only in your church membership, but in every part of your life. It's an important part of your, I'm going to use this term very loosely this morning. Brother Garen got on to us this morning in Sunday school for using this word. It's a word that we use so loosely. But if you want to be a Christian, if you want to be truly a Christian, you need to be a part of the Lord's church.
Yeah.
Why do I believe that? Let's look over in Acts. I'm not going to turn there. You can turn there. What did they say about those at Antioch? It says they mocked them. They said, oh, they're Christians. You know what they were called that first? At Antioch. There was a church at Antioch. There was a church at Jerusalem, I believe, where the first church was. In fact, and I didn't have time to get to all this morning. I'm closing, I promise. That first church at Jerusalem, it said, you stay here first. And you know what happened after that? They started sending people out to go and establish churches in different places. Paul got saved. And he went out and he began to go on missionary journeys. My favorite, one of my favorite scriptures, you all can laugh if you want to. One of my favorite scriptures there in Acts was where Paul went to Thessalonica. They heard he was coming. They heard what was going on. And they said, oh no, these are they that have turned the world upside down. You know what happens when God's people get in one mind and accord? When the church begins to move, the church should move, we'll turn the world upside down.
Amen.
Joel said, and this is an Old Testament prophet. He was prophesying about things to come. He says, I will pour out my spirit upon you and your sons and your daughters. They'll prophesy and they'll dream dreams. And he talks about the last part of that chapter. He talks about a remnant. Aren't you glad today to be a part of that remnant? I don't get prideful in a lot of things. I think the Lord hates a proud look. But I think He is very happy with people that love when they go to church. And sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, there's some things that happen in churches that are hard to deal with. They are. They're very hard to deal with. I understand that. But being placed where the Lord wants us is important. I want us to have a song. I want us to stand together. And I'm going to do this morning because I believe it's what the Lord would have for us to do. I'm going to open the doors to our church as our invitational. Now, if you're here at Lost, you can still come and seek the Lord. But I want to open the doors to our church here at Mount Calvary for people that may be looking for their church home. And the Lord has led you to unite with you. I say this often when I open the doors to our church. If God wants you here, you need to be here. You need to be here, we want you to be here. Because we want what the Lord wants. The ways, and I've already said, I'm going to run through it real quick again. The ways we take your members here at Mount Calvary is number one, by experience and baptism. If you're here and you've been saved, and you know that you've been saved, but you've never united with another Baptist church of like faith and order, I'm talking about holds to our standards across the board. Salvation experience, baptism, on everything. They hold to the things that we do. You come forward. And you tell us about what the Lord has done for you. And when you come up here, you'll tell us about that time and place. We'll vote upon that. Upon that vote, well, we would take you and we'd baptize you at the hands of this Father, this church, the authority that we have from God to baptize people. The next way that we take your members is by letter or by credit letter. Saying if you're here and you've been a member of another Baptist church of like faith and order, again, that holds to standards as we do across the board, you would come forward and you'd tell us about a time and place where the Lord has saved your soul. We would write that letter or we would take the letter that you might have today. You know, you don't have that much anymore. Used to, they had trunk letters. They would carry them around and they would present those there. And they would read them that day and they would be able to become a member that day just by that letter. We would write for that letter where you'd be coming from. And upon receipt of that letter from that church, and we vote on it, you would become a member of this body with all rights and all privileges afforded to our membership. The last way that we take in members is by restoration. If you're here and the church has had to deal with you in times past, maybe they've excluded you, maybe they have dealt with you, and you need to come forward and tell us about the Lord forgiving you. Well, we want to hear about God forgiving you, but we also want to hear about where the Lord saved your soul. Again, I want to hear that. When you tell us about that, the church is going to vote on that. I know this about Mount Calvary. If the Lord has forgiven you, we will forgive you. I want to say this before we stand. Everybody go ahead and get up. or fix the same, drag us on with whatever call of God. If God has led you to be a part of Mount Calvary Church, and I'm not begging members, please do not ever think that. But if the Lord has led you to be a part of our church, we want you to be a part of where God has led you to be. While we stand together.